Today's Daf Yomi is the very last Daf in Maseches Shkolim. We are doing Daf Chof Beis. And Baruch Hashem, we've reached this point where we finished another Masechta Yetz Hashem in the Daf Yomi series, and we start Yetz Hashem, the wonderful Masechta of Yuma, tomorrow. For now, we will start on the very bottom of Chof Aleph Omid Beis with the Mishnah Halacha Gimel. The Mishnah will be discussing where is one supposed to burn various kachim that become tameh. Now, kachim that become tameh could be burned either in the actual azara itself, or they could be taken outside to the beis hasreifa, depending on the status of the kachim, how they became tameh, and in what level of tumah they became tameh. And that's what our Mishnah is going to discuss, four different opinions. We start off the Mishnah, again, Chof Aleph Amud Beis, Halacha Gimel at the bottom. Basar kachei kadoshim. If you have meat that comes from kachei kadoshim, kabanos are divided up into kachei kalim and kachei kadoshim. We're dealing here with kachei kadoshim with an ola, a chatos, an osham, and on Shavuos, the shalmei tzibur, the only time we have a kachei kadoshim shlomim is the kivsei atzeres on Shavuos. Those are in general the basar kachei kachim. You also have the birds. They're also considered kachei kachim, the ola and the chatos, bird offerings. Dealing here with the animals. Basar kachi kadoshim shenitma. If you have meat, it comes from basar of kachi kadoshim that became tameh. Now, things can become tameh by coming into contact with either an avat tumah, and basar, which is part of ochlin umashkin, can become tameh even if it comes into contact with a vlada tumah. And we'll have a discussion whether this is a tumah d'oraisa or whether this is a tumah d'rabbanan when we get to the beginning of the Gemara. But for now, we're just talking about tumah in general. So if you have meat from basar that was kachi kadoshim and it became tameh, so it depends. The Tanakhama, which will be Beis Shammai, tells us, bein ba'ava tumah, whether the meat became tameh by coming into contact with an ava tumah itself, or whether bein bivlada tumah, or became in contact with the vlada tumah, that would be a rishon or a sheni, for example, or bein bifnim, bein bachutz, whether it became into contact with this inside the azara or outside the azara. Now, basar kachi kadosh was not allowed to leave the azara, so now you have a problem also that it was yotze, it went outside the azara, so that becomes a separate psul, which we'll see, according to some of the poskim, is going to be important in certain situations. So, in all of these scenarios, whether it was tameh with an avatoma or with a vladatoma, or whether it became tameh inside the azara or outside the azara, so Beis Shammai, omrim, the first opinion that we have, the opinion of Beis Shammai, that says, Hako yisar bifnim. You bring it inside, or you, if it was inside the azara, that's where you burn it. You burn it in the azara. One exception being chutz, the exception is mishenitma ba'ava tumah b'chutz. If something became tameh, the basar kachi kadoshim became tameh with coming into contact with an ava tumah, and this was outside the azara, so here you burn it in the beis hasreifa, you burn it outside the azara and not inside the azara. You're not allowed to go and bring this tameh kachi kadoshim back into the azara. There's an issur of bringing tameh things into the azara, and here you have no right to go and bring it back inside the azara if it became tameh with an ava tumah outside the azara. Otherwise, if it became tameh with a vlad via a vlada tumah outside the azara, and certainly if it became tameh inside the azara with either an ava tumah or vlada tumah, Beis Shammai says you would burn it in the azara. Beis Hillel is almost the exact opposite opinion. Beis Hillel omrim, no, hakol yisar b'chutz. Suppose Beis Shammai said three of the four you burn inside, and only the fourth one, the avat tumah that became tameh outside, do you burn outside? Beis Hillel has the opposite opinion. Hakol yisar b'chutz. Everything is burned outside in the beis hasreifa, with the one exception being of the four, chutz mishenitmo b'vlada tumah b'fnim, only it became tameh with a lower level tumah, of vlada tumah, inside the azara. You don't have such a strict level of tumah there, so that you can burn inside the azara. But if it was an av tumah inside the azara, and certainly if it wasn't either an av or a vlada tumah outside the azara, so then you leave it outside the azara and you go and burn it in the beis hasreifa. These are the two polar opposite opinions of Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. Now we go to the final daf chav beis omid aleph in this beautiful masechta. Now we have the third opinion, Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer omer shenitma bi av tumah bein bifnim bein bachutz yisarv bachutz. He says it depends on the level of the tumah. If you're tummy with an ava tumah, so then whether the tumah occurred inside the azara or whether the tumah occurs outside the azara, you're not allowed to bring it inside the azara, or you have to take it outside of the azara and burn it in the beis hasreifa. You serve bachutz. He says if it's an Ava Tumah, that's the critical factor. It's a very strong Tumah, and that can't be inside the Azara. So if it's already there, you got to take it out. And certainly if it's became Tumah on the outside, you're not allowed to bring it in. However, if it was Nitmo Bevlada Tumah, Shenitmo Bevlada Tumah, if it became Tumah with the Vlada Tumah, so then it doesn't make any difference. Bevachos Bev Bifnim, whether it was outside, you can bring it in. And certainly if it's inside, you leave it inside, you saw it Bifnim. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, the critical factor is, what is the level of Tumah? If it's a higher level of Tumah, it goes to the Beis HaSreifa. It can't be in the Azara. If it's outside the Azara, you leave it outside. If it was in the Azara, you got to take it out. If it's a lower level Tumah, so then the preferred place to burn it is inside the Azara. And that's true. Even if the Tumah occurred outside the Azara, you bring it into the Azara. That's Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. And finally, the fourth and final opinion is Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva Omer, it depends on where it became Tameh. That's the deciding factor. Makom Tumaso, the place where it became Tameh, Sham Srefaso. If it became Tameh inside, so whether it's an Ava Tumah or a Vlada Tumah, you burn it inside. If it became Tameh outside the Azara, regardless of what level of Tumah, via an Ava Tumah or a Vlada Tumah, you burn it in the Beis HaSreifa outside the Azara. Again, these are the four shittas that our Mishnah discusses. And the Gemara now goes to start off the machlokis, what exactly is an Ava Tumah and what exactly is a Vlada Tumah. So the standard, simple, normal understanding of an Ava Tumah is that it has nothing to do with whether it's a Din D'Oraisa or whether it's a Din D'Rabbanan. If something has the status of being an Ava Tumah on a D'Oraisa or a D'Rabbanan level, so then we treat it as a very serious level of Tumah. Of course, there's a difference between the rice and the rabbanan, but we consider that as one category. And Vlad HaTumah is when it's a Rishon, a Sheni, etc. So we don't make a distinction whether that's a din d'oraisa or din d'rabbanan. That's under normal circumstances. But here, Bar Kappara Omar, Bar Kappara tells us when we're dealing with an Ava Tumah in our Mishnah, it's referring to Dvar Torah. It's only talking about an Ava Tumah, meaning something that was Tumah on a Torah level, on a d'oraisa level. And when it says Vlada Tumah in our Mishnah, it only is talking about Midivreim. It's only talking about a rabbinical Tumah. And therefore, understanding of Bar Kappara in our Mishnah is a little bit different than we normally have an understanding throughout Shas, because throughout Shas we can have a Vlada Tumah that's D'Oraisa, or have a Vlada Tumah that's D'Rabbanan. So in our Mishnah, Bar Kappara says that Ava Tumah means D'Oraisa, and Vlada Tumah means Midirabbanan. Rav Yochanan disagrees. Rav Yochanan Amar, we use the standard definition throughout. Bein Zeh, Dvar Torah. It's talking both about D'Oraisa Tumah. Just one is a higher level of D'Oraisa Tumah, an Ava Tumah, and the other one is something that's Matameh on a lower level Tumah, that's a Vlada Tumah. But both of them are talking about D'Oraisa, according to Rav Yochanan. Now, we're going to slug up Rav Yochanan now. We're going to have several questions against Rav Yochanan to show that his Shita doesn't square with our Mishnah, and then we'll focus on Bar Kappara. So Gemara starts off and says, "V'kasha de Rav Yochanan al Beis Shammai." We have a problem understanding Beis Shammai according to what Rav Yochanan just said, that both of them are talking about a Doraisa, because Beis Shammai had said, "Beis Shammai yomrim hakol yisor b'fim." We always burn it inside the Azara, with the one exception we said chutz mishenitma be'avatuma b'chutz, because if you're a tumah with an avatuma outside the Azara, you're not allowed to go and bring it back inside the Azara. That's why Beis Shammai says only in that situation do you burn it in the Beis HaSreifa outside the Azara. But how come? If you're telling me, according to Rav Yochanan, that both of them are D'Oraisa, the Ava Tumah and the Vlada Tumah are D'Oraisa, so then how are you allowed to go bring in from the outside into the Azara something that's Tumah on a D'Oraisa level? Ma ben Ava Tumah b'chutz, which we said you have to burn outside the Beis HaSreifa, ma ben Vlada Tumah b'chutz, that one you said you could bring back inside the Azara. How could that possibly be if they're both Tumah min HaTorah, so you're not allowed to bring Tumah min HaTorah into the Azara. So how can it possibly be that if it's Tumah and an Ava Tumah, you can't bring it in, but if it's Tumah and a Vlada Tumah, D'Oraisa, according to Yochanan, you're allowed to bring it into the Azara? Zev is there, Lo Dvar Torah? Aren't they both Dvar Torah? Aren't they both D'Oraisa? So how could you possibly say that Beis Shammai could be in accord with Rav Yochanan's opinion? That's kasha number one. Kasha number two. You think it's only Beis Shammai we have a problem? But if you love Beis Hillel, lo makshaya, you don't have a problem according to Beis Hillel understandings with the way Rav Yochanan says it. It's both of them are talking about D'Oraisa. You got a problem with Beis Hillel's opinion as well. What did Beis Hillel say? Beis Hillel said, "Hako yisarif b'chutz." You always burn it outside the Azara. The one exception being chutz, mashenitmo bevlada tumah bifnim. If it became tummy with a vlada tumah on the inside, it's not such a strict tumah level. So therefore, you can leave it in the azara and burn in the azara. But how can you say it's not such a strict tumah level? If you're saying like Rav Yochanan that it's a daraisa, so then it's a daraisa. That's a very strict tumah level, even if it's only a vlada tumah. So that's what the Gemara says. Ma bein vlada tumah bifnim, a vlada tumah bifnim, we say we can leave inside. But an avatumah bifnim, we say you have to bring it outside. Ma bein avatumah bifnim, why should there be a difference between these two dinim, between a vlada tumah bifnim and an avatumah bifnim? Zev zeh lo dvar toru, aren't they both a din daraisa? So how come the first one, the vlada tumah, Beis Hillel says it's okay to leave inside and burn it? It's a daraisa. If you're telling me the daraisa avatumah has to be taken outside, so why doesn't the daraisa vladatumah have to be taken outside? So therefore, Rav Yochanan has a problem with both Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. So now the Gemara says, what? And Bar Korba doesn't have any problems at all? Lo havu bo rabbonon el al debar kapara. So the rabbis focused on Bar Kapara. That's the one we pointed out earlier in the Sefer. The Yushami tends to focus on what it says is the halacha l'maisa. So they slugged up Rav Yochanan, so they're going to focus the rest of the discussion. We don't try to answer up Rav Yochanan. We're going to focus the rest of the discussion on Bar Kapara's opinion that there is a difference in our Mishnah that Avatumah means Doraisa Tumah and Vladatumah means the Rabbanon Tumah. But that has a problem too. So, lo havu bar rabbanon el advar kapara. So the rabbis focus and discuss the havayus, the back and forth discussion in regards to bar kapara. And they said, bekashi the bar kapara of the Beis Shammai, that bar kapara's opinion is also problematic in understanding Beis Shammai. Why is that? Again, what did Beis Shammai say? The Beis Shammai omrim, hako yisar bifnim, you always burn it inside the azara, the one exception being chutz, mishenitmo bi'ava tumah b'chutz. The only time you don't bring it inside is because it's a very strict tumah, it's an ava tumah, the raisa tumah, and you're not allowed to bring that into the azara. So if it was an ava tumah on the outside, you can't bring it into the azara. But that's a problem. So then, if you're telling me that any avatumah is a tumah d'oraisa, so ma bein avatumah bein b'chutz bein b'fnim. How come only according to Beis Shammai, if it's an avatumah on the outside, you can't bring it inside? How come if it's an avatumah on the inside, we let it stay in the inside? According to Beis Shammai, zev zeh lo dvar toru, aren't they both dvar Torah? And you're not allowed to have tumah in the azara. So how come only if it's on the outside that it became tummy with this tumah d'oraisa, do you say you can't come inside? But if it's inside, you should have to bring it outside as well. They're both tumah daraisa. Ma bein avatumah bein b'chutz bein b'fnim. They're both daraisas, and they both should have to be taken outside the azara. Why did Beis Shammai let the latter one stay inside the azara? So the Gemara says, no. In this respect, when you're dealing with a tumah daraisa, begin the Rabbi Akiva Omar. Beis Shammai agrees in part with Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva's shita, with the four shita in the Mishnah, was that makom tumaso shom teisrif also. Whatever became tame, that's where you burn it. So in regards to tumah daraisa, Beis Shammai agrees with this principle. And therefore, tumah daraisa that occurred inside the azara, you leave it in the azara, you burn it in the azara. But if the tumah daraisa occurred outside the azara, then don't bring it into the azara. Burn it over there. Go burn it outside the azara in the Beis HaSreifa. In regards to Din D'Rabbanan, however, Beis Shammai disagrees with Rabbi Akiva. There they say that any tumah should be burned inside the Beis HaMikdash because this is only a Din D'Rabbanan. And on a daraisa level, you're allowed to bring it inside. And therefore, in this regard, they disagree with Rabbi Akiva. That's the first teretz that we have and explains Bar Kapara according to Beis Shammai. But now we're going to have to say we still have a problem with Bar Kapara according to Beis Hillel. Bafilo Beis Hillel lo makshaya. You don't have a problem with Bar Kapara and Beis Hillel. Again, Bar Kapara says that when we say avatumah, we mean daraisa. We say vladatumah in our Mishnah, we mean derabbanon. So Beis Hillel has a problem also according to this understanding. The Beis Hillel lama. Well, again, what is Beis Hillel shita? Beis Hillel says, I call you sarf bechutz. We always burn everything outside the azara. The one exception being chutz, mishenitma bevlad hatumah bifnim. Only a vlada tumah, this derabbanon level tumah that's on the inside, we say, leave it on the inside. It's okay to burn it on the inside. Everything else, don't bring tumah into the azara. But wait a second. If you're telling me that it's only derabbanon and that's why you're allowed to burn it on the inside, so then, ma bein vlada tumah bein bifnim bein b'chutz, if it's only, quote, a derabbanon, and there's no issa deraisa to bring it inside the azara, so then, according to Beis Hillel, why is it only if it became tumah inside the azara that we burn it in the azara? Even if it became tumah outside the azara, since it's only derabbanon, zevzeh lomi deramhu, aren't they both derabbanon? So on a deraisa level, there's no issa in bringing it inside the azara. So then we should take it, if it's a derabbanon tumah, outside the Azara and be allowed to bring it into the Azara, because on a Daraisa level there's no problem, and you should burn it inside the Azara, but that's not Beis Hillel's opinion. Beis Hillel says, if it became Tamei on the inside, so then you can leave it on the inside and burn it there. But if it became Tamei on the outside, don't bring it in. But if it's only the Rabbanim, why can't you bring it in? That's the Kasha. So the Gemara says, no. Beis Hillel says you can't bring it in because they hold like Rabbi Shimon. Begin the Rabbi Shimon Amar. Now, what is the din of Rabbi Shimon? Where does this come from? We haven't mentioned it yet today. So this is Machalu Umashko Shomitzora. Now, the Girsa that we have, will explain in a moment why the Gra disagrees with this Girsa, but Ochlin Umashkim, food and liquids, if the Mitzora made Tamei, so according to Rabbi Shimon, Mishtalchim Chutz L'Sholosh Machanos, they're not allowed to be in the Machane Kahuna, the Machane Leviyah, or even the Machane Yisrael. They have to leave entirely from Yerushalayim. So they can't go inside any of these areas, and therefore, you're not allowed to bring inside Tumah into the Beis HaMikdash. It has to be taken out, even if it's only the Ochlin U'Mashkin of the Mitzora. So Beis Hillel says, we follow this opinion of Rabbi Shimon, that even something that's Tomei only midrabanan, there is this rule that you don't keep anything inside the Beis HaMikdash that is Tomei, so therefore you have to bring it outside the Azara, Mishtalchin Chutz L'Sholosh Machanos, and you bring it outside, and therefore you burn it in the Beis HaSreifa and not inside the Azara. Now, he doesn't follow this all the way through. You don't have to bring it outside all three machanos. The Beis HaSreifa is on the Har HaBayis, so you don't bring it all the way out. But the idea is that you can't bring something that's Tomei into the Azara. Now, the Vilna Gaon doesn't like the Girsa that we have with his Mishtalchin. That says that you take it out. Because this would seem to indicate that even, according to Beis Hillel, if he holds like Rabbi Shimon, that even if it's in the Azara, you should have to take it out, because it says Mishtalchin, you have to take it out. So then, even this fourth case, where it became Tumah with the Tumah of the Rabbanan inside the Azara, if you follow this through logically, then Beis Hillel should say, even in the fourth case, you should have to bring it outside. Therefore, the Vilna Gaon chases around the gears. See here? You can see this goes Hagra Osal. He says, Hochi Garsinon, Machalu Mashko Shematzora, Ein meviin ligimu machanos. You're not allowed to bring it inside. And v'hochi perusho, begin the Amar Rabbi Shimon ochlu mashkin shomatzora ein meviin ligimu machanos. And therefore v'hochi mashenitma b'chutz, something that's metame on the outside, apel v'adatom, even it's tumah d'rabbanan, ein meviin lifnim. You're not allowed to bring it inside. But the implication is, however, that if it's already inside, you're not mechuyav to take it out. And the Gemara says, I'm not exactly sure where we find this sheet of Rabbi Shimon. He goes into a little discussion of the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, where we find this. And then he concludes at the end of Os Aleph. Here he says, the Girsa Sasvarim Mishtalchin Shibushu. It's a mistake to say Mishtalchin, because the Imkain, Af Bivlada Tuma Bifnim Yisarif Bachutz. Based upon this, Mehai Taima, you would have to go and say, even in this fourth case, to take it outside. And then he adds, Vod, Shiluach Ochlu Mashkin Man Shamisle. We never had any discussion about taking out Ochlun Mashkin. We're only talking here about Basar Kotchim. So in any event, the bottom line is that you can reconcile Beis Hillel's opinion with Bar Kappara's opinion if Beis Hillel is going along with the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, and like the Vilna Gaon says, if we have the Girsa of taking it out, in Mevi'in, you're not allowed to bring it in, but you're not Mechuyev to go take it out, and that's why the Tumah D'Rabbanan that occurred inside the Azara, according to Beis Hillel, can stay in the Azara. Again, a little bit of a complicated idea, but not that difficult. And now we begin the very last Mishnah in the Masechta, Halacha Dalet. The Mishnah begins as follows: Evorei HaTamid, the limbs of a carbon tamid. Carbon tamid is a carbon ola. It's totally sacrificed up on the Mizbeach, the one exception being the hide that goes to the Kohanim on that shift, as we learned previously. So the Evorim, the Hefshed and Nituach, the flaying of the carbon ola, the carbon tamid, is then cut up into its component parts, and these component parts will eventually be put up on the Mizbeach and burned, but they're put up in two steps. So first, the Kohanim take the Evorei Tatamid, and Nitanim, they put it, Mechatzi Kevesh Ulamata. They take these limbs and put them on the lower half of the Kevesh. The Kevesh is the ramp that leads up to Mizbeach. The Kevesh is a long ramp. It's 32 amah long. That is on a slight incline. It goes from ground level up to the top of the Mizbeach, which is 9 amah. Now you're going to think, well, the top of the Mizbeach is 10 amah. No, it's only the corners that are the 10 amah. So the top of the Mizbeach is actually 9 amah above the ground. And this ramp goes 32 amah in its length to reach this incline up to the top of 9 amah. And it is 16 amah in its width. The Mizbeach is 32 amah in width. It only goes up half the width of the Mizbeach. In any event, You put the Evorim of this Korban Tamid on the lower half of the Kevesh. Now, the Girsa that we have is you put it on the Mizrach side, on the eastern side. But all of the Nosei Kalim on this Daf, they all say that it's a mistake and it should be Bimarav on the western side. The reason why you put it on the western side of the ramp is closer to the actual Heichal, and therefore it has more Kedusha. So therefore you put the Evorim on the western side of the ramp, on the lower part, western side. That was in the quadrant, that is the bottom quadrant on the western side. Fine. That's where you put the limbs of the Korban Tamid. Eventually, the second step will be that the Kohanim go, after they do various activities. The Korban Eda describes, for example, that they wouldn't lo yomalam osom b'pamachas, they wouldn't bring it all straight up to the top of the Mizbeach, elanosin osom l'kevesh, they would put it down, as we just said, on the bottom half of the ramp, on the western side, and then these Kohanim would go, v'hochim l'lishkas ha'gozis, likros ishma, they would go rikriya shma, v'achak ha'chozun v'makriven o'ivar, and after they did other things, they would eventually come back and do the second step in bringing them up from this lower part of the Kevesh up onto the top of the Mizbeach and actually be makir the Evarim over there. So, this is the first item that the Mishnah mentions. Where did they put the Evari Tamid? Now, they also sometimes had a Korban Musaf, so they would then have to put the limbs of the Korban Musaf there as well. So they put them on the opposite side. Again, the Girsa that we have, we'll say on the Mariv, but the real correct gears, according to all the Nosei Kelim of Daf, is Shel Musafim, when they have to take the limbs of the Korban Musaf. This is also, some of the Korban Musaf was an Ola, so the Ola part of the Korban Musaf, Nitanim Mechatzi Kevesh Ulamata, it should be, instead of Bemarav, it should be Bemizrach. They were put on the lower half of the Kevesh, or the ramp, on the eastern side. So they would differentiate between the two. They'd have to have a hecker separation between the two, so they put these on the eastern side. And finally, Sharosh Chadashim, if it was also Rosh Chodesh, so they would put those Nitanim, the gears that we have is Al Karkov HaMizbeach, and we delete the word Lamata, and we say Milamala. They would put it on the Karkov of the Mizbeach. We had the word Karkov previously, and we said that the Karkov was the area, the walkway, one of the, there were some places, a number of places that were called Karkov, but here we're referring to, in the gears that we have, Milamala, so it would be up on the top of the Mizbeach, in the area where the Kohanim would walk. In the original Mizbeach, we said there was only 5 amma wide, so the walkway was in the area right inside the outer perimeter. You had an inner perimeter, and then you had the innermost part of the top of the Mizbeach, which was 1 amma by 1 amma. So the Karkov was the area that was circumferential right around the inner 1 amma by 1 amma. That was the walkway for the Kohanim. And then the outermost part, again, the whole Mizbeach was only 5 amma by 5 amma on the top, the first one that Moshe Rabbeinu made, and therefore there was very limited space to walk, so that was called the Karkov. When we had the Beis HaMikdash built and Shlomo Melech built the Mizbeach in a much larger size, so then the Karkov would be the area the Kohanim would walk, would be a much wider and larger circumferential area right within the outer circumference of the Mizbeach as well. In any event, that's the Girsa that we have. If you have a different Girsa over here, like the Vilna Gaon has, so he said the Girsa over here should be that it was something called the Karkov, which was the Sovev, which was the area, a walkway in the middle of the Mizbeach, on the outer part of the Mizbeach, and it was placed Lamata underneath this, meaning that on the Kevesh, it was placed in the lower half of the Kevesh, below the point on the Mizbeach where the Sovev was. Okay. That's a different Girsa. Go weiter. The Mishnah then tells us, what about other types of holy things? What was their status then when we didn't have the Beis HaMikdash, Nebuch, Rabbeinu, or Rabban? We don't have the Beis HaMikdash. Here, Yemenu should be rebuilt, and this will all be just historical discussion. Hashkolim v'abikurim, the giving of the Machzis HaShekel, which has Kedusha status to it when it goes into the Beis HaMikdash, and the Bikurim. These are the first crops that a person sees growing that come from the Zayin Minim. Eretz Yisrael is praised with having Chito, Sa'ora, Teno, Geffen, Rimon, Zeis, Shemen, Udvash. So all of these 7 produce of Eretz Yisrael, so you have to give the first growths from them. These are called the Bikurim. They're brought to the Beis HaMikdash and given to the Kohanim. So this only applies during the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Both Machzis HaShekel and Bikurim, the Mishnah tells us, Eino Nohagin Ela B'Pnei HaBayis. They only exist in front of the Bayis. In other words, during the time that the Beis HaMikdash is in existence. Nebuch, nowadays, we don't have the opportunity to do these 2 mitzvos. However, other mitzvos, such as Avo Maiser Dogon, the taking off of Trumus of Maisos, or Maiser Behema, taking off of the every 10th animal that you have, the animals born in the same year, so there's a requirement to pass them through the corral, and the 10th one becomes Kadosh as Maiser Behema, and is eaten by the Balaam, after it is sacrificed in the Beis HaMikdash. So this still applies even when there is no Beis HaMikdash. And likewise, the Din of Bechoros, that the firstborn male animal is also has a Kedusha, and all the Din of Bechor apply even when there is no Beis HaMikdash. No, again, Bein Bifnei HaBayis, or Bein Shalom Bifnei HaBayis. It's extend these three halachas of Maisa Daga and Trumas and Maisa on the produce, as well as Maisa Hema and the Din of Bechoros, they're all applicable whether there's a Beis HaMikdash or there is no Beis HaMikdash, unfortunately. And then Mishnah says, however, Hamakdish Shkolim Bikurim, if somebody did, in fact, the Shkolim Bikurim don't apply nowadays, there's no Chiyah to do this, but if somebody was Makdish, a Makdish a Shekel, or they did designate Bikurim, so then I raise a Kodesh. So it does take effect. It's not that it doesn't take effect, it's that there's no Chiyah to do so, but if you do so, it does in fact take effect. But then we have the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon Omer, no. If somebody were to say, Omer, Bikurim Kodesh, that these are Bikurim, Einon Kodesh. They don't take effect. You don't have the ability to make something into the Kedusha of Bikurim if there is no Beis HaMikdash. As we will say, the implication of that is that he does agree by Shkolim, that the Shkolim do take effect. If you said something is Matzah Sashekel today, it would take effect. The Gemara starts off and says, Ezu Karkov HaMizbeach. What is this Karkov of the Mizbeach? So as I mentioned, this is Amma Ben Keren LeKeren. In the five Amma wide Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu, so the outer perimeter was where the Keren was, that you couldn't walk that area because you had the Keren, the corners. So the inner, next most Amma circumferentially, that was the Karkov, and then inside that was left only one Amma by one Amma, and that's the actual place where the Marocha, where the actual fire of the Mizbeach was. So this Amma being Keren LeKeren, this innermost Amma, right before the actual Marocha, that was Makom Hiluch Ragli Kohan. That's where the Kohan would walk around and do whatever they had to do on the top of the Mizbeach. Then the Gemara says, an interesting question. If you have Musafei Shabbos and Musafei Rosh Chodesh, when Shabbos comes out with Rosh Chodesh on the same day, Rosh Chodesh is on Shabbos, Mikodim, which one would they go and bring first? The Musaf of Rosh Chodesh or the Musaf of Shabbos? Both of them have a Musaf, two different Musafim Korbanos. So which one comes first? Which one has Kedima? So Rav Yirmiyah Sover Meimah, Rav Yirmiyah wanted to suggest that Musafei Shabbos and Musafei Rosh Chodesh Kodmin. He says the Musaf Rosh Chodesh takes precedence. And the reason for this is as follows. Chayle, the Rav Yirmiyah Min Hadah, he wanted to suggest the answer from the following din. What is this din? So this we learn in the Gemara in Sukkah, where it tells us when the Levim sang Shira, so Shiro Shol Shabbos, the Shiro Shol Rosh Chodesh, on the day there was Rosh Chodesh Shabbos. So they have two Shiras to sing. So which one do they sing? So Shiro Shol Rosh Chodesh Kodem. So first they sing the Shir of Rosh Chodesh, and only afterwards do they sing the Shir of Shabbos. And this is because they wanted to publicize that today is Rosh Chodesh. Everybody knew it was Shabbos. Shabbos comes every seventh day. But Rosh Chodesh people might not have been aware when it was. So therefore, to publicize the Rosh Chodesh, so they would sing the Shira Shol Rosh Chodesh Kodem. That one would take precedence. Again, because normally we have a principle, Tadr, Shino, Tadr, Tadr, Kodem, so Shabbos should have taken precedence, but here they wanted to announce that it was Rosh Chodesh, so therefore they would do the Shira of Rosh Chodesh first. So, Mistama, Rav Yirmiyah is saying, Sova Memi wanted to suggest, since the Shir of Rosh Chodesh comes first, so Mistama, the Mus of Rosh Chodesh was Shechted first. Gemara says that's not true. Amar Rav Yosef, says no. Shnayi hi tamon. It's different. Why? Why is it different than that Mishnah? Because the Amar Rabbi Chiya b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Chiya said the name Rabbi Yochanan, k'dei lefarsimo, the reason why we sing the Shir of Rosh Chodesh is to publicize that it's Rosh Chodesh, ulodiyah, to tell everybody it's Rosh Chodesh. And therefore, and here the Girsa again seems to be out of order, and we'll follow the Girsa of the Hagos Hagra in Oz Beis and Oz Gimel. So we delete the first Ketzad, Hoya Osa Shochet, Musafi Shabbos, Omer Alein, Shir of Rosh Chodesh, that really comes later on. So we'll just start reading now from Baram, Hocha, Musaf, Shabbos, Musaf, Rosh Chodesh. That Gemara tells us that when you have the Musaf of Shabbos, Musaf, Rosh Chodesh, the Musaf, Shabbos, Kodem. First you bring the Musaf of Shabbos. You shecht the Korban Musaf of Shabbos first. Again, because I just mentioned the principle of Tadr, Lashen, Tadr. Call it Tadr, Mechaber, if something is more frequently performed than the other thing that you're talking about doing, so kodim es chavero. So the frequently done thing is always performed first. When you're going to do both of them, so do the tadir one first, and then do the eno tadir second. So certainly the Korban Musaf Shabbos comes ahead of the Korban Musaf Rosh Chodesh in terms of which one is shechted first and performed first. However, then Now, we put back in the parentheses that we deleted before, according to the Gra. Ketzariyosu. So how do you actually do this? So you shorchet the Musaf of Shabbos. You first shecht and perform the Musaf of Shabbos. But why are you doing that? The Omer Aleim, Shirosh Rosh Chodesh. But you sing the Shir of Rosh Chodesh. Surprisingly, the Shir of Rosh Chodesh could be sung even when you're doing the Karbon Musaf of Shabbos. And then when you're going to do Mustama, the Karbon Musaf of Rosh Chodesh, so then you can sing the Shir Shel Shabbos. The song doesn't have to align with the actual bringing of the Karbon that you're singing that song about, so to say. And therefore, the order of the Karbonos is not like Rav Yirmiyahu wanted to suggest. The order of the actual Karbonos is the Musaf of Shabbos takes precedence to the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh because of the principle, Tad Rishayin, Tad Kodem. But in order to publicize it, it's Rosh Chodesh, so we actually sing the Shira of Rosh Chodesh first. So everything is okay. Then we said in the Mishnah, Shkalum Bikurim Chule, we said that during the times of Nebuch, when there's no Beis HaMikdash, there is no obligation to bring your Shkalim and to bring your Bikurim. But then the Mishnah said that if a person did designate them as Shkalim or Bikurim, they do take effect. And Rabbi Shimon said, no, if you designate Bikurim, they don't take effect. The Gemara says, implication being, I mentioned this before, Ha Shkalim Kachu, that according to Rabbi Shimon, it seems that he agrees with the Tanakhama that if you do designate Shkalim nowadays, that the Shkalim do take effect. You just don't have an obligation to do so. That's the Girsa that we have in the Mishnah. But Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda said it Mishum Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda said it Rabbi Shimon. Bein Elu uBein Elu lo kachu. He holds that the opinion of Rabbi Shimon was that not only are the Bikurim not going to take effect, but even the Shkalim will not take effect. Tani, we learned in a Braisa, Ger Bizman Hazeh, if a person converts nowadays, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, and the Ger can't bring the Korbanos to complete his Geiris process, so nevertheless, we still allow the Geiris to take effect, and he, quote, owes the Korban. And therefore, Tzarech Lahavi Kino, if he's poor, he'll bring bird offerings. If he's more wealthy, he's able to bring animal offerings. But we're talking here about the minimal requirements, so therefore, this Ger, Bizman Hazeh, when there's no Beis HaMikdash, has to set aside money. Tzarech Lahavi Kino, he has to bring his pair of birds, Rivis Kesef, since he has the birds can't be brought, so we bring the money, and he sets aside the money. The mount is a rivis kesef, a rivis of kesef, which is usually referred to over here as a dinar, a silver dinar, and that will be the money that it costs to bring a pair of birds, and he sets it aside. Amar Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon said, Bitla Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, they've never had to call it. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, don't do this, because it could lead to trouble. If you're designating this as hektish, it belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, so nothing good can come from this. It's only going to have potential for somebody to mistakenly use this, and they'll be over me'ila. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, don't make the ger put aside the money. Be'er remain, the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt, so he'll put aside the money then. Now, this was the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Now, what does he mean when Rabbi Shimon said, Mahu mipnei hatakolah? What potential troubles are there by doing this? So, kador detani, because we learned in the Braisa that says, ein mekachin, a person is not allowed to be mekadish something today. Below marichin, we don't make an erich vow. An erich vow is a person says that the certain values associated in the Torah with gender and age, so a certain amount based upon the gender and age is donated to the Beis HaMikdash. A person says, erich your life, my value upon me, or erich echa, your value upon you, your value is upon me to go bring to the Beis HaMikdash as a donation. So we don't do this. Ein mekachin, lo marichin, lo machrimin, achrim is another type of donation to the Beis HaMikdash. And sometimes it's a donation to the Beis HaMikdash. That's what it's referring to over here. Other times it's a donation to the Kohanim. Now we delete the next words because they're just simply not true. And the Vilna Gaon deletes this. And he says, we don't read the words V'lo Magbi and Trumas HaMaisos because we do have Trumas HaMaisos nowadays. So we're not being Makdish, we're not being Marech, we're not being Machrim, Bisman is that when we don't have Beis HaMikdash. But Vim Hikdish, if somebody did make something Hikdish, Oherich, he did make an Erki Alai, or Hechrim, he made a Cherim. Now we don't have the word Ohigbi, we're not sure what that means, and the Vilna Gaon deletes it. Haksus Tisarif, if somebody made something Hikdish, so then if it was a garment, it has to be burned. If it was a behema, it has to be Te'oker. What does it mean, Te'oker? Anymore says, Ketzad, how do you go and do this Akira, this uprooting, literally, of the behema? Noel b'faneh hadelis, you put it in a room, you close the door behind it, he makes it, and it doesn't get fed, and it will die on its own. You're not allowed to go kill it directly, but you let it go die on its own. So that's what it means. You have to destroy the garment, you have to destroy the behema in an acceptable way, and v'hamos, and the money, yelchul yamamelech, you have to toss the money away into yamamelech, where nobody's going to go get it, because people didn't travel by boat on the Yamamelech, so therefore the money will not be taken and have me'ila to it. So this is the takala that we're referring to, that it could be misused. So nowadays, Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai said, don't go and designate something for hektish because it could only lead to takola. And this is what Rabbi Shimon said, that bidler of Yochum and Zakeh mipnei takola. Now the Gemara says, Ovad v'hektish, we said that if you went and were maktish something against what Rabbi Yochum and Zakeh said, in my dama Rabbi Shimon, that which Rabbi Shimon said, bidler of Yochum and Zakeh mipnei takola, the Rabbi Shimon said that Rabbi Yochum and Zakeh said that you shouldn't go and do this, but the implication is, if somebody in fact did it, Hado Amra, Ovar, the Hikdish, if somebody didn't follow what Rabbi Yochanan Zakeh recommended, therefore, Kachu, it becomes in fact Kadosh. Now, this seems to imply that if somebody was Makdish Shkolim, so then the Shkolim would in fact become Hektish. But this seems to be a stira in the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Yudah, who came from a place known as Antur Darya, we had this earlier in the Masechta, Boy Kumi Rav Yossi, he asked the following shaila to Rav Yossi. Hocho at, over here in this case, with the Gerim, he said that, Rabbi Shimon said, that they don't have to go and designate their money, their revere of Kesef, to go and purchase the bird offerings that B'mher Yemenu, when the base of this rebuilt, will have to go and bring their carbon. So we don't, Rabbi Shimon said, have to designate that now, and we turn to the final daf, Chav Beis Amud Beis. But Omar Kodesho, if the person, if this ger did in fact designate it, so then it becomes Kadosh. But Vahacha, in regards to the Machzit HaShekel, Atamar Lo Kodesho, we say that Rabbi Shimon says that it's not Kodesh. Now, in our Mishnah, we had the opinion that Rabbi Shimon said that it is Kodesh, so there's no stira with our Mishnah, but this is only a stira in the opinion that we brought down, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, who said over in the name of Rabbi Shimon at the start of the Gemara. So there seems to be a stira. By Machzis HaShekel, it doesn't become Kadosh, but by the Ger it does become Kadosh. So how come we have this problem? That was what Yehuda asked to Rav Yossi. So Amalei, so Rav Yossi responds to this Rav Yehuda, who came from this city, unto Darya, and he says as follows, Tamon lechach, ein makdishin lechatchila. When we said over there, in regards to the Shkolim, you shouldn't go be makdish something lechatchila, why not? Lefisha mitzvah lahakriv mitruma chadasha. That's because the shkolim have to come from that year's donation. So if you donate it now, so then by the time the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, it will be next year. And therefore, this would be tiklin atikin, and it won't be able to be used for the korbanos sibur. So what's the purpose in donating it now for korbanos sibur for shkolim? And therefore, v'hayach, this shekel that you're putting out, have your law yishan. It will be tiklin atikin. It will be no good, and therefore there's no purpose in doing it. And therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, Chazal said that it doesn't become Kadosh even if you're Machdish it, because there's no purpose in it. However, Hayishonahi, but in regards to the Ger's bird offering, there is no concept of Yishana. Hayishonahi, is there a concept of Yishana? Legabi Hekdeshos Achayim, in regards to other types of Hekdesh besides the Machzis HaShekel, which is not a yearly function. Bekino Shoger, likewise, the pair of birds that a ger has to bring, Enot Sarah Chadasha, there is no concept of Chadasha. It doesn't have to be from that year's donation. It could be donated now for 20 years from now. And therefore, Vim Hikdish Kadosh. Therefore, Rabbi Shimon says, if you Makdish it, it becomes Kadosh. Where it says, but wait a second. So why not let, in regards to the Shekel, don't bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, Yani Chena, Achi Bani Beis HaMikdash, and then bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. So set it aside now, but it doesn't become this year's Machzis HaShekel until you bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, from here you're when it's rebuilt. Where it says, no, that won't work, because Shema Yibana Habayis Kivarishona, because the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, and then on the first day of Nisan, which when the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, right, we say the Nisan Nigalu, Lasid and Ligal. So hopefully, Mirtz Hashem, even before next Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, but maybe it will be rebuilt on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and therefore it will require a brand new collection. V'titarim trumas halishka min hachadasha bismana b'yecha b'nisan. As the Karbon Eda explains, he says, gam b'shkolim yaniach ha'binyan Beis HaMikdash. He's telling me, go leave the shkolim until the binyan of Beis HaMikdash, and then it will be new. So he says, umishani, the Gemara is answering, shema yibane abayis rishona b'nisan, maybe the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt b'mer v'yameinu on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, v'titarim ha'truma oz. You have to go take the collection then. Umash and Nardar Kvar, and anything that you designated beforehand, habala yishana. So this idea of yanichena ashibana Beis HaMikdash doesn't practically work. So therefore, that's why the shkolim, according to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, according to Rabbi Shimon, the shkolim don't get designated even if you went against the takana of Yochanan Zakkai, whereas the gerim's money that they set aside for their burnt offerings, v'hocha my yislach. What difference does it make, the Gemara says, whether it's old or new? There is no din of chadosh or yashan in regards to the bringing of the birds that a ger has to go and bring. How do we paskin? The Gemara concludes and says, Rav Amnuna v'Rav Adda bar Ava b'shem Rav, they both paskin halacha ki Rabbi Shimon. The halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, and very appropriately, we had troubles with Girsa throughout the Masechta. We delete the last words, Rav Adda, Rav Amnuna, Rav Adda bar Achva b'shem Rav, say halacha ki Rabbi Shimon. We're not Goris this over here. So we paskin like the Rabbi Shimon that we have in our Mishnah, that you shouldn't go and be designating Matzis HaShekel, but if somebody does designate, even nowadays, Matzis HaShekel, so then it has to be thrown into the Yam HaMelech because of the potential takkola that we discussed. And that's why I always point out, it's very important when shuls have the Matzis HaShekel tztaka collections on Purim, so you have to be very careful. You have to write on it, it's Zecher L'Matzis HaShekel. People write on it, Matzis HaShekel, so a person could incorrectly think that he's really donating the Matzis HaShekel obligation, and then the shul wouldn't be able to use it. The tztaka, the plate that's out there that you're collecting the tztaka, wouldn't be able to use it. You have to throw all that money into the Yam HaMelech. So it should be very clearly stated for people that may not realize it, that this is only a zecher l'Matzis HaShekel and not an actual giving of the Matzis HaShekel. With this, we conclude Hadron Alecha Kol HaRokin. We conclude the last, the eighth and final parak of Shkolim, Hadron Lecha Kol HaRokin, Hadron Lecha Kol HaRokin, and Slicha L'Masechta Shkolim, Slicha L'Masechta Shkolim, Slicha L'Masechta Shkolim, Yitz Hashem. We look forward to the start of a wonderful, beautiful Masechta Yuma tomorrow, and congratulations to all of you for finishing this very difficult Masechta of Shkolim, and Yitz Hashem, we will return to it, hopefully before the next cycle, but we start Yuma tomorrow. Have a wonderful day.